If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We're back. We're on the CU podcast. My nerd pencil fell for Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. Well,
I'm here.
I'm Pat Contry. Oh boy, do we have a beefy podcast for you all.
Beefy.
Breaking news right before we started recording about Google Stadia events we have. We have talk about game preservation, including we missed out on the UWC wrestling prototype last week. Somehow, we forgot to put that down. Another NWC found, Atari VCS delay, Bully Hunter-style game team to make sure your kids don't know how to play games anymore and piss them off. It's really weird. Scumbag Star of the Week, and more. Ian, what's been going on?
Not a whole lot, Patrick. How about you?
Oh, okay. Well, I ended a certain Super Nintendo Kickstarter. You can still pre-order Ultimate Nintendo Guide to the SNES Library at ultimatesnes.com or supernesbook.com, or I probably registered 3 or 4 of these. Any one of those, you could book snes.com. Yeah, any
Ultimate
combination. Yeah, you can go there. You can still get it. I have 3 reviews left to write: Super Mario World, Super Mario All Stars, and Super Mario World / All Stars, which isn't really a review. I actually stream me playing through Super Mario World on Saturday on Twitch. My first like official non-NES marathon game streaming ever, and it went okay. I almost had a meltdown because like the USB controller wasn't working right. I couldn't get the analog Super NT to work. The audio wasn't working, so I went fuck it, emulator. I just did that. It took like a good 6 hours to play through Super Mario World with all the alternate paths. So yeah, but it was fun.
Yeah, it's
good,
a long time. Game. Yeah. Now, what's up with me is there's oh, tiles. There's tiles falling off of my bathroom wall.
That's fine.
Because the people next. So I live in an apartment building. The people next door to us moved out. So now they're like putting they're ripping out the carpet. They're putting in a new bathtub, et cetera, et cetera. And I woke up from I was in the middle of a dream, one of those like in between lucid sort of dream states,
uh-huh,
where I thought someone was playing dubstep music really, really loud, because what it was the banging from next door and the saws and all the fucking like tool noise,
uh-huh,
in my head, you know, to my dreaming head. It was like, oh man, someone needs to turn that dubstep down. But I woke up, realized what was going on, and then sat there for about 10 minutes, and then I heard shattering. And I thought it was from...
Nothing but shattered dreams! Shattered dreams! I
thought it was from next door, but no, they were hitting the wall so hard that, yeah, tiles were falling off in my shower. So
that's good stuff, Ian.
It's the greatest. It's the best. That's it. That's all.
It doesn't beat the experience from the marathon here, but it's
well, that was a special...
that was a special present one I'm not going to talk about publicly.
A very special episode.
A very special episode.
Of the bathroom.
That's what they talk to you afterwards, seriously, like in a sitcom.
Yeah.
This is we present as a very special issue. If you know anyone, here's the 800 number. Talk to your church parishioner. Talk to an adult. Talk to a teacher.
You don't want to talk to your church parishioners.
Well, some, you know, that's cleaned up somewhat, a little bit, hopefully. Anyway.
yeah.
Well, my church didn't have any shenanigans going on, I don't think. Maybe one guy. Anyway, Ian, Pixel Dan, our pal Pixel Dan was on Raw last night. Pixel Dan, if you don't know,
I have to look that up.
He's a YouTuber. He's one of the first. I call him a preeminent toy reviewer. Before now, you have little kids making millions of dollars on Twitch playing toys with toys. It should have been Dan, because Dan was doing this
playing
10 years
toys?
Ago. Playing with toys. I'm playing toys. You know,
playing toys.
They're playing toys. But Dan's also a pro wrestler on the side. I don't know how he does this, but he's been a pro wrestler for a long time. So he was on Raw. Usually they ask for, you know, when Raw has like extra people, like security guards or, you know, ancillary characters, they usually ask the independent locals, like, why not?
Right.
Get them involved. Goodwill, good faith. And so, plus, it's probably easy. they know the business. So Dan was one of No Way Jose's entourage dancing around. And I did not notice watching somehow. Because how you gonna look for him? He was wearing all purple and glasses. But once someone tweeted it, now you can't take your eyes off. Because Dan's just like, his face is like, what? What? Like, how we know Dan? In the background. So he's allegedly, he might be on SmackDown tonight. So check out SmackDown. He might be in the background. I'm hoping he gets beat up by Becky Lynch as a security guard. That'd be hysterical. Like, I'm hoping for something like that.
That would be fun.
He'll be like, what? He gets smacked in the face and just go down hard. It'd be funny as hell. I love Dan.
I love Dan, too. I miss Dan.
We'll talk about...
Do you think he just eats the Rock's diet? You know, that one that I brought up on the podcast once, the one that's like all cod?
I've seen Dan without a shirt off. You know, he keeps in wrestling shape, but yeah. I don't know if he's in Rock shape. Okay. I'll just say that.
Okay. He's not in cod shape.
Not in all 300 grams of cod a day, no. He's not. As a funny aside, Rock was in my dreams last night.
Well, we all had some wild-ass dreams.
No. It's probably related to the fact that I watch wrestling, but whenever I have, I always tell people this. I don't have too many recurring dreams. I have recurring dreams of being in college, and I find out there's like an essay due the next day, like a 12-page paper I didn't start.
You still get that dream?
Yes.
That's terrifying.
I do not miss college at all because of that. I get dreams where I'm in grade school, my real grade school, and I see my bus pulling away, and I'm horrified. That happened to me twice as a kid. That's my other recurring. My third recurring dream is that I'm a pro wrestler who's never used. I never even get a chance to get in the ring. And that happened again last night, but this time The Rock was in the dream because in my dream I'm still with the WWE. I haven't been there. I signed like 6 years ago. I haven't been on TV like in five. And The Rock, so I'm basically become like Hurricane Helms because The Rock comes up to me and says, pal, you know, WWE's going to fire you. They haven't been around. What's going on? I said, The Rock. I didn't call him The Rock. I said, Rock. They haven't used me in 5 years. And I said, thanks to you, you put me in a little program. That was great 5 years ago. But they didn't do anything with me after that.
Right.
So that was my dream. Part of my dream last night. There was also a kid that drowned I won't get into. That was horrifying. At my old home back in New Jersey. But anyway, so that was that. Now we got some Disney MCU news. First, the Avengers trailer, the final trailer came out, and this should be for Endgame. This should be the model
textbook. Yes,
textbook. We don't want to give away too much, but still get your.
They put on a goddamn clinic with that trailer.
Yes, that was a trailer of all phrases and images from past movies and all shit from like the first 20 minutes of the movie, save for probably a few scenes.
Yeah, because everything, a lot of it was callbacks or, you know.
Or crying about half the world dying.
Right. So it's early stuff.
Yeah.
It's early stuff.
So I'm more excited for this than probably for. I think even more, I was way excited for Civil War more than I think Infinity War. This, since I literally don't know what they're going to do, and most of us don't, they're keeping it so secret. I mean, people have postulated, well, maybe they'll go back in time, they'll try to get the Infinity Stones before Thanos does, but you still don't know, we don't know where they're going or who's going to be fighting what.
Sure, and keep in mind that, you know, as some people learned last year, they put misdirection in their trailers.
Oh,
they
yeah.
put misdirection in their commercials.
No Hulk in Wakanda.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have that. Hulk got two-pieced out in the first 5 minutes of the movie. He was done. So it's like I said, I'm super excited. Plus, since they're closing the Fox deal like next week, I'm like twisting my nipples hoping they put some image of the Fantastic Four or X-Men somewhere in the background.
They're going to get a teaser. They have to get some sort of teaser.
Like, I don't care if like it's Doctor Strange like looking in other dimensions and you see the Fantastic Four like in the background fighting like some scrollers. Like just like a second for all of us to just like explode in our pants. That's all I'm asking for. Not too much, Marvel.
Let me see some of Scott Summers' crisp nips.
Crisp
nips.
Justice for Cyclops finally in the MCU. He's treated like shit in all the X-Men movies. He's like treated like a clown.
He is a clown a lot of the time.
He's a solid leader. He means well.
He can be written as a good character.
He means well. Yes. Yeah, he's a schoolboy. He's a Boy Scout. But, I mean, he's treated like a punk in the original X-Men movies. He wasn't even in the second and third ones, really, at all. And then James Gunn was rehired by Disney for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Eight months. This is crazy. You kind of felt this was coming, though.
Because
they didn't hire anyone else
right.
in between.
It's what everyone wanted. It's what everyone hoped. It's what made sense. But we're in a world where nothing that we hope for happens and nothing makes sense. So, yes, in my head, this was always how it was going to go, but I didn't think that was a guarantee.
Well, the cast wrote that letter saying, we want him back. You shouldn't fire him. Bautista straight out says, I'm not doing it unless he comes back. He said that. So he was probably still in their contract, though. They probably could have forced him or sued him for a ton of money.
There was some rumor going around that it might have been, if he hadn't come back, it might have been...
the guy did Thor Ragnarok?
Taika Waititi,
yeah. But he turned down and said, I don't want to do it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that would have been the only reasonable substitution.
So they were in pre-production back in whenever he got fired, like, what was it, late summer, early fall. They were starting pre-production. So they probably would have been filming pretty soon, probably to come out next year, because 3 years after the sequel in 2017. So it's probably still going to come out next year, but now they're probably going to be filming it later in the year, because James Gunn is now doing it's not even a soft reboot, a full reboot of Suicide Squad. Since the DCEU is a fucking nightmare and it's totally collapsed on itself like a neutron star, like we said. And people are saying, no, it hasn't. Yes, it has. Yeah. It's fucking done.
The next Batman movie is going to be in the 90s?
That's what they say.
The DCU, it's like, and I realize this is perhaps just coincidence, but it's funny how they look at Marvel and go, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do one of those. So we just had Captain Marvel, you know, with its 90s setting, and they're like, yeah, do Batman that way. I don't either.
They probably didn't say that, but they probably figured, well, Wonder Woman's in the 80s, the sequel coming out.
These Avengers movies are doing well. We need that Justice League right now. We're going to rush it.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Oh, 90s? 90s up Batman, please.
So the guy who plays Cyborg, I believe, is out since we talked about it. They canceled the Cyborg movie. I think the Flash movie's been canceled forever.
It has been.
They don't know what they're doing. You're going to have Aquaman movies and Wonder Woman movies that are totally unrelated to each other, and these one-off series and like a Joker movie that no one really wants that's going to come out. Like, that's what you're going to have.
I definitely want Idris Elba in the Suicide Squad.
Will Smith to Idris Elba is a slight upgrade, I guess.
It's a huge... Look, both are fine individuals. Idris Elba is a fine actor.
Yes.
And a fine man.
You like him because he's a DJ. I think that's why.
No.
He's got a Netflix series now where he's a DJ turned nanny. It's like the modern Who's the Boss. I guess that's what it is.
He can rap. He can DJ. He can just sit there and look handsome.
He's the sexiest man alive.
Oh, God. Too. Yes, it's true.
Do you need time alone for Idris Elba?
I do.
You want to hang out with my ex and just talk about Idris Elba for hours on end?
I probably could. I could.
I mean, you know, he was definitely the hall pass in our relationship. I was like, fine. You know, I'm going to, you know, fucking jump on in front of me. I don't care. Whatever. He's worth it. And then in weird news, we have to bring up, unfortunately, the massacre in New Zealand, Christchurch. The white supremacist that gunned down scores of people, unfortunately. And he live streamed it because he's a fucking, obviously, a psychopath maniac. And that's the world we live in. And before the massacre, he did the subscribe to PewDiePie meme. So now the reason we bring this up is because we've talked about PewDiePie in the past. I talked about it a lot when you were out. When you were out, that's when a lot of the stuff happened with the Washington Post and calling him out on all his bad anti-Semitic jokes in the past and things of that nature. And what I said at the time, which I'll repeat now, is that there's a reason certain people like and follow you. There's a reason that, like, a white supremacist site like the Daily Stormer at the time, like, PewDiePie was like the poster boy. Like, he was on their site. Like, he was like featured on their site because PewDiePie was looked at as, oh, he's our guy. He's red pilled. He's wink, wink, nudging our movement. And so when you have a white supremacist, piece of garbage like this invoke your name, you can say, yeah, well, it's because of the meme of subscribe to PewDiePie versus the whole T-Series thing, which is a whole other dumb conversation I don't get into, but he probably likes what he thinks you stand for. And that's really unfortunate, just because now you're intrinsically linked to this event, even in that weird off-puttish way of what this guy said before he went on his rampage. And I would just say this, because now Felix knows who we are, if he didn't before. And I'll say the same thing, is that you have to watch your what audience likes you and why? Why are you being glorified by a certain audience? Why all of a sudden are you a poster child for a certain audience? You cannot ignore that. You cannot ignore the message you're putting out to the world when you're a huge YouTuber with whatever it is, 90 million subscribers. You have to pay attention to what you do. You do. You have a responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Or otherwise, this shit's going to get happen to you. I actually feel bad that he's now linked to this because obviously, he probably feels disgusted about it. But this is the energy that was put out into the world. These are the things put out, and these are the people that got attached to you for whatever reason. Anything else to add? Or
I don't want to do this today. No, I don't want to do this one.
Okay.
I agree with largely what you say.
Okay.
The people who like you and the people who follow you are a good barometer of what you've put out.
It's a good barometer of your message.
Yeah.
Indirectly or directly, it's a barometer. Okay. On to GDC news, Ian, the Game Developers Conference. And Google, our pals at Google, finally announced something that people saw coming. This was in the trades. It has to do with cloud gaming.
Yeah. Everyone thought that this was initially going to be a... hoax, but
it's gonna be a hoax.
Well, yeah, people. I mean,
that's people, right. I mean, just see people thought it was gonna be a hoax because they had the controller mock-up for this Google system. Yeah. It's the Stadia.
It's the Stadia.
Stadia events. No, just Stadia.
It is a streaming service essentially for gaming that Google's going to come out with, and there are already some examples of this sort of technology. Existing the PlayStation Now program, for instance, is the streaming arm of the Sony PlayStation 4. You can log in, pick from PS3 and I believe now PS4 games, PS2 games, and they'll stream them to your system. So that's what Google is going for, and they're going for basically being able to stream any PC game, and they will work on. All you need is a device that has like Google Chrome on it or something like that. It'll work with
any tablet.
Yeah, it's going to work with TVs, tablets, laptops, and phones.
Your phones. I was going to say, a lot of smart TVs have some sort of browser on them too.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can install something on it. Or you can probably get a little box that has it on it, like a streaming box.
It'll have its own controller, although I can't imagine that that would be necessary.
Probably not. I don't see why it would be. Any USB controller probably function. And the controller is like, it's your standard looking Xbox One, this generation controller.
It's every mashup of an Xbox and PS4 controller that's out there.
Yeah, you get two analog thumbsticks, you get a D-pad, you get triggers, you get four face buttons, start, select, home. But yeah, it's every controller you've seen at this point. Kind of hard to reinvent the wheel at this point.
Right. So it could be interesting. It by doing this, it eliminates the need for people to constantly have and update new technology in their home.
Yeah.
The tagline is, I don't know if it's a tagline, but I've seen it come up a couple times now in articles and news, is that they're building a game platform for everyone. They basically want it to be as easy as TV. They say that they want it to be able to, the internet, you turn it on. And you go.
Sure.
And there's something to be said for that.
So the goal is that it'll launch a streaming game in less than 5 seconds. You can click on it. They want to do a YouTube integration because obviously it's the same company, Google. Click on YouTube video /link and you can play game instantly. Works over screens, desktop, laptop, TV, tablets, phones. It's not a box. So I guess in theory that means that on the service you can be watching a YouTube video of someone, or even obviously YouTube has a streaming service that's way behind Twitch, but you can be on a game. There could be a link. Play this game now. Click on it, and you're playing that game if you're subscribed to the service.
Right.
That's really the best sort of integration way you can integrate this with your current audience and really advertise it as well. They can be advertised in every YouTube video with a game that's supported. A brand new AAA game comes out, and then, okay, play this game. Pay whatever it is, $25 a month or $20 a month, and you can be playing it in 5 seconds. That's appealing to someone who doesn't want to go out and spend $500 on a PS5.
Yeah. Problematically, I'm interested in seeing how this is going to turn out. On the PlayStation Now network, it worked pretty well for a lot of things. RPGs, strategy games, action games, you know, that were relatively basic, I guess. However, there is issues. Obviously, it's streaming. Streaming can drop, hiccup, it can lag. It makes it really tough for this to be currently, in its current state, useful for playing fighting games. That sure. It throws that off, you know.
The timing's so exact.
Yeah, games that require more precision, it's not the best for. So obviously that's going to be something that, you know, that's going to be a big hurdle. They didn't immediately clarify here. It says how fast a user's internet needs to be.
They did say this, though. 4K, 60 frames per second at launch. You need a...
Believe it when I see it.
You need a good internet connection.
Yeah.
Especially over Wi-Fi. Like, I have fiber optic. I'm probably pretty good, but most people have to upgrade in order to have that be, if they want 4K, well, I don't have a 4K TV, I wouldn't have to do it. But, you know, obviously you need a 4K monitor to get the most out of it. Eventually up to 8K, because at this point, it doesn't matter anymore. 85K, because the human eye cannot decipher it anymore. So what's the point?
You're looking into someone's soul.
I mean, seriously, how much resolution do you think we could see, people? That's a stop at some point. Anyway. So one of the things that they mentioned is that you could, like, also play games at points. So if you're watching a video and it's, I guess it's configured, you can say, I want to play the game right at that point.
Actually, that makes sense.
Jump in.
Yeah. That's weird, but it could easily do it.
That
it just
turns things upside down, I believe. That changes how video games are played going forward if that becomes a thing. Because then all of a sudden, you don't have to wade through like tutorials or first and second stages. You can just jump in and play where someone's at. As a purist, that bothers me, but I guess it's play however you want. Like Netflix, watch at whatever point you want.
But,
you know,
with games, it's a little bit different. With larger games and whatnot, there's always the, I mean, if you're jumping in and taking their spot, their inventory is going to be different.
Sure.
This, that, and the next thing.
That makes sense. But I guess it's more they really want to push the interactivity with, well, YouTube, because Twitch is a competitor. So really, this would be something perfect with Twitch. But they're not going to be doing it with Twitch.
Right.
Which is where I question, why not? Because Twitch is going to be a huge audience for something like this. You can get streamers on board to use this.
Might as well do both.
You might as well do it, even though you don't own it. You might as well buy in and work something out with Amazon for that. Because why wouldn't you want the biggest Twitch streamers, like our pal Ninja, why would you want him using this directly and say, hey guys, you can if it's a multiplayer game, hey guys, how about, you know, five of you join me right now and play right here.
Right.
I mean, everyone would go out and buy. I mean, everyone would get it. Or ask their parents because they don't have credit cards because they're all 15.
Right.
But, you know, like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the advertising is built in. YouTube is so far behind with their streaming service. I mean, people do use it, but the biggest people are all on Twitch, as far as I know. I don't even gauge who's on YouTube gaming. I don't.
Right.
That was sort of like, not a field experiment, but they didn't catch up with that. Yeah, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting price point. I don't think they announced that yet. There's going to be a Google Assistant integration with it, asking how to get past parts of the game. That's interesting. The controller is a standard controller. It looks like the same thing they do with any new system. It looks like the same one with the Atari VCS, which get into, like, just different colors.
Mm-hmm.
There's an instant share button for YouTube that'll be on the controller. They put the Konami code in the back of the controller. That's kind of cute for whatever reason. I'm not sure why they would do that.
Did they? I don't see that.
There's one of the pictures on the Twitter moment.
Oh, okay.
They put it on, for fun. Funsies in the back there.
For shits and giggles.
You can use a console, PC, tablet, smartphone, or any device. That's great. List of partners they have. I don't know who these people are. Oh, Unity. I can't read some of the ones. Oh, Unreal Engine, huh? Not an Unreal Tournament game. Okay. They want to bring back couch multiplayer. Split-screen gaming will take toll on performance for each player's view. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. There's just some way that you can play the same... squad-based shooter game and then split out your own individual screen. That's a game changer.
Yep, that's cool.
I'll give him that. Let's see, what else? Any other highlights? We parental controls. So this is just brand new. It's launching in U.S., Canada, U.K., and most of Europe. I'm guessing they're going to gauge who has the infrastructure to handle this.
Yeah.
You can't launch it and then have people bitch about, I can't play these games.
Right.
So, and this is goes back to where we are with the internet, even in this country. Yes, if you live in a metropolitan area, if you live in San Diego, if you live in a major suburban area, your internet should be fine. If you live somewhere, maybe in the Midwest, somewhere maybe off the beaten track, you're out of luck still. Because there's some places where you still can't get, you know, more than like you have to get satellite internet in some areas still. So it's going to take a while to get, you know, fiber optic everywhere. Google Fiber is in a lot of places. We have fiber optic laid by Cox Cable in this area. We're okay here, but it won't be for everyone still.
Right.
So you're going to have to, really have to see what your areas can support. And like I said, I think, like you said, they didn't even say what's the minimum speed you need.
Yeah, this. Which I have a feeling it's going to be relatively high.
What do you think the price is going to be per month for something like this? I don't think it's going to be cheap.
No.
For any game that they license, it's $30 a month, $40 a month?
$30 a month is what PlayStation charges.
So you think it'll be around there?
I have a feeling, yeah, because they can take they can look at it from a business perspective and say, okay, it's $40, but they also need to have, you know, PlayStation Network on top of it. So I think they could probably find a way to make it $49.99 a month.
And also, I guess it depends on what obviously they want the best games to attract people. And I, at this point, obviously this would be a coup if they can get games that were at some point just exclusive to a console and get them on the streaming service as well. Then that's a game changer. Because we spoke about that thing in the past about that'd be a possibility in the future about, all right, well, you're streaming PC games, sure, but what about console games?
Right.
And getting them on board. And at that point, it's like, okay, we really don't need any more game consoles, which is what Microsoft is probably heading towards, we thought already.
Yeah.
Like, I think Microsoft basically is saying, well, okay, we can still make money on, but it's not our business anymore.
Right.
Just Sony and Nintendo. And Sony's probably going to be shit out of luck eventually, too, if this picks up. You know, so, all right, anything else to add here?
Nah.
No? I think I might be on board for this, because I don't like the idea of buying a new console every 2-3 years. I just don't. Or upgrading my PC every year. I'm getting too old for that. I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm tired of buying, you know, $800 video cards, you know, and done.
I'm into the idea. Just it needs to be proven to me that it can work.
Sure, we got time. We don't know when it's going to come out yet, right? Did they reveal that?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Probably next year. We'll see. Okay. Eno.
Yeah. So we've got
game preservation news.
Two bits of
game preservation news.
When it comes to game preservation, one that we should have started. We should have talked about last week.
We should. You want to start with that one or
high? Yeah, I mean, we'll start with that one. So the one that we missed last week.
I don't know how we missed it because we both talked about it beforehand. Yeah. And we just didn't put it down in the topic.
It was very exciting. It was right after the marathon.
That's true. Excuses.
So UWC Wrestling Prototype. So UWC was Universal Wrestling Corporation.
This was that weird period when it was like NWA right before WCW, before it transitioned to WCW. They were figuring out where it was going. So Universal Wrestling Corporation, which I don't even know, was that even like a TV show ever?
I don't think so. It says it's called UWC, which stands for Universal Wrestling Corporation, the placeholder name that was used by WCW during its purchase by Ted Turner in 1988.
So we're talking like probably like a 6-month period of time or something, like this is going to be our name. That, oh, no, we're going to go to World Championship Wrestling.
Right.
In between.
So,
which I used to watch on TBS, by the way. I watched some good old WCW in the late 80s. Oh, yeah. I saw the first Clash of the Champions. I saw that Ric Flair Sting match on TV when it went to the draw at the end, when he had him in the Scorpion Deathlock.
Oh, yeah.
And Ric Flair was like, no, and he didn't give up. And that was my first time I saw Sting and Ric Flair, I believe. Yeah. I was like, what was that, 89? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So it was discovered by Stefan Reese, a.k.a. Archon 1981.
Who's a YouTuber.
Got a hold of the copy of it from...
It was actually a Nintendo employee.
A former Nintendo employer, mm-hmm. Yeah, who was given the game for testing simply because apparently that guy liked wrestling, and he just held on to it forever and never got rid of it. The ROM will be dumped online soon, so that anyone who wants to check it out can. It looks a little bit like the WCW game that ended up coming out. However, when you watch it...
It's not.
It's noticeably missing some things like the power bars and
it's a different
that.
Game.
Yeah, it's a different game. Which the sprites, just the wrestlers themselves have a slightly similar look.
And this is why it's interesting. It's interesting because originally, I believe the employee just figured, oh, it's just a prototype for the WCW game. And it's not. It's a totally different game. No one knew about this game. Like, this wasn't on anyone's radar.
Yeah.
This was like, this wasn't like a game like Bioforce 8 that you heard of for a long time. They finally found it. This was like, holy shit, this is a new game that we didn't know about. That's pretty much finished.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this slipped under the radar. This is one of those tales of game preservation where, you know, if no one from the company tells you about it or keeps records, it gets lost to the annals of time. And so when you look at it, it's what? It's eight wrestlers. You can do tag team, right, or single player action. And who are the wrestlers we got here? We got...
So there's Road Warrior Hawk, Road Warrior Animal, Bobby Eaton.
They think it's Stan Lane, not Lex Luger, for the Midnight Express, right? Yeah. Ric Flair.
Sting. Sting?
You want Sting?
Sting's got to be in there.
Yeah, it's Sting.
Okay.
Top row there. And then who's the other guy there? I can't find the full list right now on it. Yeah. Bobby Eaton, Stan Lane from the Midnight Express. I think it's that. Barry Windham. That's right. So these are like the bigger names back then in NWA. Sting was still pretty new,
yeah.
But he got very popular. So it's a nuts and bolts looking wrestling game, right? When you look at the gameplay is already online, which is great. And like I said, they got the Frank Cipolla, the Video Game History Foundation to preserve it. He actually did a. It's funny. He actually tweeted himself doing like a speed run of preserving the ROM.
Oh yeah,
Analog Mini NT, which I should have got a Mini NT. I don't know why I didn't get one. There's an Elimination Series single match. Some of the animations look like they could have been a predecessor of the WCW game, but
like the kicks. Like the kicks look like they have no frames of animation, just like the original. Or
the
like
drop the kick looks similar.
Yeah. So basically, everything from grappling to a lot of the assets around it look different, but some like the striking looks the same.
But it's a different game.
Yeah.
You cannot really call it a prototype of the other one. It's just an entirely different game. Because
mm-hmm.
even the wrestler list is entirely different. This was slated for, I guess, for 89, and WCW Wrestling came out in 90. So that was enough time. And that developer was, this one, this developer...
Seda.
What's that?
Seda.
Did this UWC.
Oh, yeah.
The one for NES was Nihon Busan did that. Okay. I don't know if they're related to Seda at all. But no, this is an interesting time for game preservation, obviously. We'll get into the other story in a second. And I'm just happy. There's not much else to say about this. It almost looks like it's the WCW style of pro wrestling on the NES. That's what it kind of looks like and kind of plays as, except there's submissions and things like that. There's a elbow on the head. There's a suplex. There's like a scorpion deathlock. I don't know. I have to watch more gameplay. I'm guessing all the guys had a similar moveset, but I'd have to see and play through it. There's a referee in the ring. So it's like it was modeled after pro wrestling. Then they kind of went from there. You can go outside the ring. The referee has pink shoes on, which is cute. So, all right, there you have it. So thanks to Archive91 for helping to preserve it there. And we're going to get to him again in another topic. But do you want to talk about the Hi-10 Bomberman?
Yeah, so this is actually...
Hi-10 Bomberman.
This is awesome. So just a few days after... just like a week after that happened with UWC, Frank Cifaldi of Video Game History Foundation tweeted out that Takeshi Maijin, the... main character in Adventure Island, the famous guy who could fire off 16 shots in a second with a controller.
Could he really?
Yeah, that's what the shooting.
And he was a model for Master Higgins.
Yeah. He was the lead character in Adventure Island for Master Higgins. He sent the long lost Hi-10 Bomberman game disc to GamePres, which appears to be a game preservation organization in Japan.
Oh, interesting.
This is crazy because this game never got a official release.
Explain the game premise first.
So basically, Hi-10 Bomberman is high definition 10 player Bomberman. It was only used for the summer, well, for the most part, only used for the 1993 Summer Caravan. I think we've talked about these briefly somewhere on the podcast before, but a Hudson Caravan was like a touring competition that went around in the summers in Japan.
And they would make up games for some of these.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they would, so usually there was like, that's like where... actually, Recco is a different one, but summer caravans and summer carnivals were the touring like game competitions. So
sure.
You would always find like special games made for them to bring people out. So for this one, it was Hi-10 Bomberman. Hi-10 Bomberman uses high-definition technology at a time when that was basically unheard of. NHK, which is the broadcasting corporation over there, one of them, had a lot of, I don't know, I guess faith or stock in high-definition stuff, so they wanted to show it off to the people.
So HDTVs were like a new concept, so this was almost like a proof of concept to show you this is what the future is going to be.
Right, so the TVs that it was run on were multiple $1 million televisions
in terms
of price. Yeah. And the system that the game ran on was, it's custom hardware. It was basically powered by two PC Engine Core Duos as well as other things. And it was stated that those systems cost up to $2 million each.
That seems pricey.
It seems high, but
when you look at the image of it, the competition at the time, what there is, looks like Master Higgins himself hosting it with a yellow Hudson B shirt that I must find, a yellow Hudson B polo shirt. I will pay any amount of money for that. Anyway, the TV looks like a standard high definition, almost like a plasma heavy glass, like the first generation of these HDTVs that came out in like the early 2000s. That's what it looks like. It looks like it's only like about a 40-inch TV, 36-inch, something like that. And yeah, you can see the about 10 people playing on a gray, looks like a standard PC Engine core.
Yeah.
That's all that they're playing on it. With a turbo tap, with a white PC Engine turbo tap coming out.
There's two turbo taps that are themed to look like Bomberman.
So you're saying though they were somehow coordinated together, the two different PC Engines.
Yeah, it's the system Daisy was Link. Built using No, two cores. It's,
oh, two it's cores one in it. System. Okay, because yeah. The picture I'm looking at, they're actually playing on just looks like a one PC Engine, unless it's redesigned inside with different guts.
Yeah, that's what it must be.
Sure.
Either way, it's really cool to see it. Other than that caravan, it was put on display for a short period of time where people could play it. But other than that, it's never really been seen since. And while the custom hardware is still thought to be long gone, at least now the code can be studied and looked at, and people can see how it's done.
According to this thread in a recent era, it was 1035i, so not exactly 1080. That's freaking close,
right?
And then I won't get into interlaced versus progressive. Back then, for something like this, it doesn't matter really. It was 60 frames, it was not 60 frames. I'm trying to find the frames on this. I don't know if it was 60 frames, but the fact that it was 1035i, it's a widescreen image. It's like a 16:9. Yeah. This is what would have been needed for the Saturn 10-player Bomberman. Like, if you play that game, it's a little tough to see everything.
Sure.
So this is almost like the predecessor to that idea, you probably would say. Like,
the characters are smaller, but it's obviously a much crisper image. So.
Sure. So I guess the bad news about this, if you want to say any bad news, is that it's going to be hard to emulate this and play this. You have to recreate the hardware.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing anyone can do with it right now. The code can be studied. Maybe something will pop up.
You'd have to, like, write a whole new emulator just to play this one game.
Yeah.
Which someone will probably do. There'll be a nut out there that says, I want to play this game. Let's do it. And they'll go for it. I wonder if any of the systems or hardware still exists.
That's my question.
That would be...
Maybe there's something...
Come on, there. Master Higgins. You holding out on us? You got the hardware sitting around somewhere? I don't know. I guess you'd hook it up to a composite cable or a component back then or something like that to get the different resolution on the TV. Interesting. Hudson Soft, they're pushing the technology.
Yep.
They did it with the CD-ROM tech. They did it with HD, 10-player Bomberman. You got to love the B. Well, Konami, do something, please, with the property. Something. Do something with them. Don't make me buy them from you, the hostile takeover, just so I can get a new Bonk game. It's actually funny when you see a picture of, what's his name? There's a picture of him, Takahashi Meijin. Bald, he looks like Bonk. Like, there's pictures of him, he looks like he was the model for Bonk as well. He might have been. Who knows? He's a happy-go-lucky sort of guy. He actually does. Even look at the Pat version. He looks like Bonk. You see the picture of him bald? Look up his name and do a Google image search, and you'll see a picture of him bald. It's like, yeah, that's kind of Bonkish, how he looks. He's got the forehead of Bonk. I'm not just making this up. Just look real quick. There's bald pictures of him. There.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's Bonk, pretty much. So the Washington Post also did an article about game preservation, which I thought was interesting just because, well, it's a major newspaper, and they're recognizing this as well. And Frank Cifaldi tweeted out, This is all issues we've talked about before. How to keep classic video games from getting lost forever. Copyright system needs to be updated to protect the games. It's that argument about this. This is from Bo Brunson, talking about all the copyrighted works and legislation that he feels need to be changed. He talks about playing, you know, Super Mario Brothers with his daughter and things of that nature. But what about games that you can't easily, you know, play? And what I'm going to say this is that it's always the argument I talked about before that I kind of disagree with some of my colleagues about, is that let's not conflate game preservation with ease of access to old games. To me, there are two different issues. And I think we just have to keep that in mind whenever we talk about, well, should these games always be readily available for sale? In a perfect world, yes, but it's not always easy to accomplish that for tons of different reasons that we can talk about for like 15 minutes probably about doing that. And I will say this, is that going forward, we have to worry about, I think, more for the digital games that won't be available in physical hardware. The 30-year-old games, don't worry about it. There'll be a way to play those forever. We already have them. Let's worry about the newer ones and what to do about that. I think that's really more my issue, is people worry about these games from the past not being easily available to buy still. It's like, well, let's worry about the games now that are going to disappear once the servers are shut off. That's really the ones you have to be concerned with. Let's figure that out. And Ian is still looking at pictures of Master Higgins. Is that responding?
I was looking at some Master Higgins, yeah.
Okay.
You know where I stand on this. We've talked about
sure.
it. Sure. I stand more towards the ease of access they need to be around. But, yeah, I mean, it's fine.
We'll figure it out. So, speaking, Ian, new topic.
Speaking.
Speaking of Archon 1981, this is... I'm somehow... When this stuff comes up, now I got to talk about, like... I have knowledge of this stuff when it's happening, whether it's you know, these prototype sales, or whatever else. But Archon 1981, I didn't know it was his name because his name Steven just comes up on Facebook, and he says, "Hey Pat, I'm just wondering, how do you get an NWC cart through security?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I put it in my backpack, and they're not going to do anything with it. And I basically asked him why. I basically said, "Are you the guy buying the one in Seattle?" Because this is the time was about the same. And he says, "Oh, no, I'm buying a whole new one." I'm like, okay. So then he revealed, I guess once I figured out, oh, this is Archon 1981. This is the guy who did the UWC. So this he posted a video. We'll link it here. So there's a new NWC that was found from the guy who had the UWC prototype. So, and this is explained in the video, but also explained to me in the email. So the former Nintendo employee not just had this prototype, and now he does other stuff. He had two NWC gray carts at the time. He sold one way back, but then he gave one to a friend for free. And so when Archon 1981 asked him about the first one, he didn't question, well, did you have a second one? Because who would do that? Who would say, do you have a second one?
Right.
But he said, did you have another one? And he said... the guy who had the ex-Nintendo employee said, oh, yeah, I had another one. I gave it away to a friend. So he put Archon in touch with the friend, and they worked out a deal. And it was similar to how I got the gold NWC, is that you fly out, you meet the guy, maybe you have a lunch, you check to make sure it's real, you give him the money, you get back on the plane in a few hours, and you go back home. So... he won't reveal the price he paid, which is fine. I didn't want to reveal the price I paid for the gold one. Oh, this is a gray one. But he did tell me that, you know, he got a pretty good deal because the person knew about the one I just sold. But the person, and this is some people, maybe they come in the store, they say, well, I don't care if I'm about getting top dollar just because I got it for free or nothing. I'm getting cash for it. It was laying around and it's a good home. So he got a good deal on it.
Well, and when someone's there making an offer and you know you can have that money in 30 seconds
sure.
as opposed to hunting for a buyer.
And sometimes it's just a hassle. I got to wait for 3 weeks and then, you know.
Trying to get top dollar for everything you have is the wrong way to
Yeah, and that's the only way I could afford the gold NWC is I was the first one to make the offer, but I said I got the money. You know, you kind of trust me at this point. I'll just fly out. And he's like, okay, fine. He probably could have got $5,000-$7,000 more for that goal if he really hunted around, but he just wanted the money now.
Yeah.
And I had it barely at the time in like 2000, was that 2011? That was a really gut check moment. Do I really want to fork out this money for this? But you know, it was worth it. But anyway, so this is another one found. It's in the 2000 family. I had 205. This is like 209. Let me check the video real quick. So I just think that's interesting how this stuff works out.
What's the highest number?
Or a low 300s. It's like 320 or so. So if you want to say there's at least 320 made or 350 somewhere on there, it's probably a safe bet for sure. Label's pretty good. There's like one little nick out of it. Not that we're getting to now, whoa, what grade would you get on your NWC? But, you know, it's in pretty good shape. The person didn't use it that much. And what was the number on it again here? So I make sure. 208. It's the cousin of my 205. That's kind of adorable. If it was the next number, that'd be kind of freakish.
It would be.
It would be kind of freakish. I wonder if there's are there any that are the next number?
I was going to say, is there any sequential?
I'll check on Nintendo Age. Anything else to add? I just think it's interesting that one comes out of the woodwork and then another one does, and then the UWC one does in like the course of like 2 weeks. This is all happening.
I mean, all I can really say is that
the stuff's out there still.
Right. Every time something like this happens, there is a group of people. And I feel like that group of
people...
You make
it sound weird. There's a group of people.
And I feel like that group of people might be getting smaller as time goes on that say this is it.
Sure.
But no, it never is. The fact that we're still finding games that no one knew about at all.
Yeah, the prototype thing freaks me out, that no one even knew that was a game to look for.
Some people had to know about it. Someone worked on it, but, you know...
Who? But they're in Japan, maybe. They don't care.
Right, exactly.
You know?
You know, and finding these, that's two new NWCs in, it's two of them, right? Two new ones?
Two weeks.
2 weeks. Any fruits or vegetables? 2 weeks. So anyways, it's crazy.
All right.
What'd you find? Any sequential?
No, I wasn't looking. I was just looking at Steven's message to me, because it was weird, because at first he's like, yeah, his first message was literally, hey, Pat, did you have any problems getting your NWC carts on a plane? That was his first message. So I'm like, that's a strange message to send randomly. Are you looking to steal one and make a getaway? Like, what's going on? And then, so I'm happy that Steven got his cartridge. 209, added to the family. I'll look up on Nintendo Age real quick if I can find the thread about, because there is a thread in Nintendo Age that tracks who has goals, where they came from, and who has the NWCs, and what golds, which ones they are for rare games. And now I cannot find it, just because it looks like they might have gotten rid of that thread where I cannot find it easily. We're proud to be working with FlexPro Meals. They're a meal delivery company that sends healthy pre-made meals to your doorstep. Their goal isn't to give you just a salad, but epic recipes and entrees you may have grown up on, that they make healthier, tastier versions of it. Eating healthy, it's a lifestyle choice, Ian. It's not a two-week gimmick. So it's their responsibility to go the extra mile to give us the most value with realistic meal options at a good price.
They have a weight loss fat trimmer plan for about $8.50 a meal and a lean muscle larger portion plan for about $11 a meal. Those large portions are substantially
they're
large
hefty
and huge.
Have you had the Speedy Gonzales chicken meal?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yes. That's a lot of meat.
Yeah. Some of the more popular ones are the smoked brisket mac, game day chili, breakfast burrito, chicken Alfredo. There's tons and tons of different options.
There's tons of
variety.
They're
changing them every few weeks.
I'm a big fan of the breakfast the huevos rancheros. I enjoy that. They have a steak. They have a new one. It's like steak and eggs. It's delicious. My mouth is warm right now. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry.
So for 20% off your first order, use code CUPODCAST when you visit flexpromeals.com.
20% off
with the code CUPODCAST.
You eat healthy meals and you save. Can't go wrong.
So, you know what's pretty exciting?
What's that, Ian?
You know what's real exciting? The Atari VCS is getting more power.
Oh, my.
It's going to be a more powerful box of shit than, we talked about.
You need more power!
Yes, this Medium.com article post done actually by the Atari VCS team. I'm like, why does this sound like an advertisement? Oh, because it is. So, the Atari VCS is going to now be powered by a 14nm AMD processor featuring two high-performance Radeon Vega graphics architecture and two Zen CPU cores.
What does that mean, Ian?
It means that it's replacing the old model, which was a Bristol Ridge. That was the family. The new processor includes built-in Ethernet, native 4K, modern HDCP, and a secure frame buffer that fully supports DRM video.
Netflix, HBO.
Et cetera, et cetera. So what they're saying is, just reading from some of this here, is The upgrade will translate to better overall performance in a cooler, quieter box.
What was it before? Like a giant fan getting turned on inside?
Right.
That sounds like market speak to me, a little bit.
Because there was no fan in the original design, if I recall correctly. Wasn't it supposed to be air-cooled? Wasn't that one of the things? That was, I believe, the Coleco
Chameleon. That was a chameleon. It was one of the reasons why it was going to be a failure. Yeah.
Air-cooled.
Air-cooled, or whatever the hell it was.
Air-cooled. So the long story short is this has resulted in the Atari VCS being pushed back to the end of 2019.
It's originally supposed to be July.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 3.5 months from now, people are supposed to have these in their hands. And now they make the announcement. So
that they're changing the processor 3.5 months before this thing was supposed to be in people's hands. And
is it cheaper than the old one? Probably not. I don't think it would be cheaper. Do they really need this to run the hardware?
No. And that's the big problem here is they've come up with an excuse to push this off.
Well, I didn't want to make that direct accusation, but that
for a six month period of time,
they do get that nice excuse built in. Hey guys, we're delaying it, but it's going to be better. Well, did it need to be better?
Right. Or is this just because, as many of us said at the time, there was no specs. There was no stats. You didn't know. These people didn't know what they wanted. My take is that these people had no idea what they wanted to do with this system. Mm-hmm. And they're spitballing it. It's the only way you can say you're changing the entire core of your system. 3.5 months is like, okay, well, we've finally decided on, you know, a processor.
And this is the problem again with, especially for an Indiegogo where you don't have to have a prototype. And who the hell knows? I mean, they had people commenting on this in people from games websites and, you know, getting quotes from them. Who the fuck knows what they were playing on?
Right.
Like that. And that's why I'm so weirded out by this whole situation. And the fact that this got so much positive press just because now you weren't playing, especially if there's a new chip, you weren't playing what was people going to get. But at the time, what were you playing?
Right.
What were you playing? Was it just a mock-up off of some computer they managed to fit in? Was it a production? It wasn't a production model now, but was it a production model back then?
Why won't you read the note?
So people on Indiegogo have mixed emotions, according to the comments on the Indiegogo. I put the link there if you want to check it out.
Beginning of the end.
Someone are like, well, this is somewhat of an improvement at least. This one
from
guy,
what?
I don't know.
From what?
Because
improvement from what? You can't improve on something that you've never seen.
Shane McGeehan says, am I getting robbed again?
Yes. Again?
First the Atari smartwatch, although that never come out, and here we go again. Isn't it time to stop developing this thing and build it? So a 14-month wait is supposed to now change to 19 months if we are lucky. If you are still designing this thing, then maybe summer of 2021. This wasn't permission, by the way. Well, they got your money. They can do what they want at this point. I mean, this is the danger of pre-ordering a system from a company that has no experience with this thing because it's not the original Atari anymore. Seriously, Atari, I mean, thank you for the better processor. I'm also somewhat fine with the delay. I somewhat expected a delay anyway since nothing seemed to move on this project. People were complaining because they weren't getting regular updates on this on Indiegogo.
Yeah. That's not. So you weren't getting these up. Not this.
I can't fucking talk. Plus, Atari said they are not. Oh, that was the best thing we left out. They aren't allowed to share specific details because of NDAs supposedly between partners. So Atari can't come out and tell you more details about what this thing is yet.
Oh, this is a fucking joke. Oh my god, this is such a fucking joke.
That's what I saw at least. It's like, yeah, they can't. It's better. This upgrade will translate to better overall performance in a cooler and quieter box, all with minimal impact to our manufacturing processes. While additional specifications about the new AMD processor will be announced closer to launch, be assured that the new AMD Ryzen processor is a much better fit for this project.
What is the project? What does it fit? What is this machine doing? This is the question. These are the questions we need to ask. It exists. It's simply a shell. There's no one's ever talked about what it's really supposed to fucking do.
It plays Atari games.
I fucking can't handle it.
It plays a target.
This is gonna serve our purpose better. What? The purpose of it sitting on a fucking shelf?
Well, emulators, a Gateway 2000 from 1995 can emulate all these Atari games, so I don't know
It's gonna be so fast, it's gonna tear ass right into the trash can. That's fucking ridiculous.
That Space Invader game is gonna run 80 frames instead of 60. Like, I don't know. What are we doing? What is
killer app Hasteroids at 120 frames per second?
8K Hasteroids. Like, what is? Who's buying this at this point? Not just buying this concept, but who's in for this still?
We're making it better. It's going to do it better.
It's going to be great.
It's
the best system. It's going to be the best system.
What's it going to fucking do better? It's going to do it better.
It's going to do what? What is it going to do?
It's going to do it real good. We've got the best processors in there to make sure that it does the shit the best.
What is going on with this? And oh, by the way, they raised $3 million. As an aside, $3 million. Before, I had...
The classic joystick is $50.
Ian, we covered this last year, buddy.
$49. I'm getting all mad about it again.
$49 for a $10 joystick.
It's $10.
That's a $10 joystick.
It's $10 less than the modern controller, and it has half as many buttons.
Half as many buttons? It has a tenth of the buttons. Yeah. It has one button, Ian. Classic means one button. Yeah, see, I know it's disconcerting to get this. Before, I had the odds of this coming out as 3-2, so favorable odds. I'm giving this now 2-1 odds this even comes out. 2-1, which I could maybe even say 4-1, but I'll say 2-1. I still think this is going to come out. I still think so. I still think. I don't know about you. 2-1, yeah, that's like 50-50. I still think this is going
to
come out.
Well, we're improving its ability to do the thing.
No, 1-1 is 50-50. 2-1 is actually not.
Fucking play 120 bullshit ports of goddamn Atari games that you don't even get to use the real controllers with. It's going to come with free games.
So this should not be...
Fuck.
And this is why when me and Ian are pessimistic about this stuff, is because we are never proven wrong on these things. We have yet to be proven wrong. Until I am proven wrong on one of these fucking things, one of these emulation boxes that don't blow up when you plug it in, one of these concepts actually comes to light and is what is promised, we will continue to be pessimistic about this and say, be very careful with your money, because your money is not something to be thrown away willy-nilly on shit that is hard to pull off. Doing a new console is not like, it's not like, I don't know, putting together like a sweatshirt. Or kickstarting a fucking t-shirt. I don't know. Something or a book. This is a lot more complicated to do.
We're upgrading our console before it comes out. It's going to do five times the stuff.
The book's delayed for 7 months. Upgrading the paper. Yeah. Different paper.
More stuff. It's going
to
do more.
We discovered a new paper stock that we got to go back to the drawing board.
I'm going to put my fucking fist through a screen here. Let's move on.
Okay. All right, Ian, this is a topic that you added to the docket. You feel very powerful about it. You feel very...
This is a fucking... This is weird. This is dumb. So there's a supermarket called Aldi.
Okay.
It's big in the UK, I guess. We do have them here. I lived directly across the street from one in
really?
My second apartment.
Okay.
And for better... It's a great place.
Okay.
Everything is fucking cheap as shit. Like, super cheap. But all of the stuff is essentially, like, relabeled name brands, you know?
So it's, like, not a dollar store of food.
And it's not a dollar store, but, like, you can... Like,
it's name brand stuff that gets just... They put a new label on?
Essentially, it's... Yeah,
like, Costco has a Kirkland label?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really the regular stuff, but they, you know, make work out deals.
So... Aldi is great for that. I used to be able to literally reach into my couch, grab change, and go across the street and be like, okay.
Literally.
Yeah.
You literally went into your couch and used that money.
I literally did that once. I lifted up my couch and there was about $2.50.
I'm a firm enforcer of using literally properly since people don't do that anymore.
Okay. I literally did it.
Okay. Carry on.
Couch money.
My permission.
Bread, cheese, grilled cheese, done. But, so it's very cheap. Apparently it's a bigger store in the UK, more of a normal supermarket, and this is what they're doing.
New ad campaign.
New ad campaign. They are putting together...
Tea Time Takedown.
Tea Time Takedown. They are putting together a team of gamers. Gamers. Hey, gamers. Similar to the Bully Hunters, if you would heard of the Bully Hunters.
I've heard of it.
Where basically, these gamers will go online and kill your child online.
They're hired mercenaries.
They're hired mercenaries to beat up your kid online so that they will quit playing, give up, and go to the dinner table. This is wrong for so many goddamn reasons. One, this is co-signing and endorsing.
There's a trailer on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't see it.
The motivation for this campaign comes from this article on Dick Sergio.
It's bullying.
The motivation for this campaign comes from the brand's own data, which claims that 38% of British children refuse to sit down at the family dinner table, with more than a quarter of UK parents blaming online gaming for this phenomenon. This trailer raises a number of questions, at least how the professional players will manage to match up in the same game as the target. According to the terms and conditions, the target must accept an invitation for the esports pro gamer to join their game. So what is it, like a different hub then? Yeah, because then how would you find them randomly?
Yeah, you kind of tough. Like they, so the first thing is this.
So you have to lie to your kid and say, "Oh, I found you an online buddy to play," and then that kid will be so. First of all, there has to be a lot worse, but then not get frustrated enough, but then not kick that player out of their game eventually.
Right.
Is it trying to teach them a lesson? That maybe this is a futile waste of my time in a weird way.
This is a bunch of wrong-headed dick swinging by Aldi, and I don't like it.
Stick to selling your discount broccoli. That's what I'll say, right?
You don't really go there for produce. You definitely go there for your canned goods.
Your ramen, your canned goods, chicken noodle soup, your Campbell's.
But, I don't know.
Pro gamers are being drafted from Veloci Esports.
It's weird to me that... I have a couple things to say. One, it's kind of fucked up. That's kind of like co-signing and endorsing online bullying. You're paying someone to harass your kid until they give up.
Well, not harass if you just get a spanking at a game, but it's encouraging if your kid's on the playground playing basketball. Let's hire a professional. Let's hire LeBron James to destroy your kid 21-0 in a game. It's fair, but it's still crappy to do that.
Yeah, it's crappy to do it. Two, try fucking parenting. This wouldn't be an issue. What's parenting?
I don't know what that is.
It wouldn't be an issue if you taught your kid boundaries and respect and that dinner time is dinner time.
Yes.
And parents also need to understand to a degree, people, at least the ones that have no like real concept of gaming and online games, that if you're going to let your kid play online games, the idea of stop right now and come to the dinner table doesn't work. Give them a 15-minute heads up.
Yeah.
Give them a 15-minute heads up and say, "Hey, I know you're playing online.
Hey, champ, we're playing. We're eating in 15 minutes.
Hey there, ace."
I knew a kid that his mom would call him champ in front of all of our faces, and we were like, "Oh God,
oh no!"
God, one of those. Oh. I felt really bad for the kid. The kid became, I think he was almost a pro golfer anyway. But hey, champ, 15 minutes, buddy. Come on down. And if any reasonable kid was like, thanks, Dad. I'll finish this game up.
That's more than enough to finish
my Fortnite fucking thing. I'll be dead in a second. And then if he doesn't come down, but you have a talk and you're like, okay, when I say that to you, it's to give you time. Reason with the child first.
Yeah.
If you come down, we can enjoy dinner together. And then you can go back to playing if your homework's done. But if you don't listen to me, you're not playing at all. And that's how you get the parent. You're nice until you got to be firm. And I'm not your friend. I'm your parent.
Yep.
I'll pretend to be your friend until you turn on me. And now we got a problem. You got to be a little mafia to your kid. I think a little bit. Like you show them the good path. You take the payout. If not, there's a head in your bed. That's
right.
Choice A or B. Offer you can't refuse. That's how you get a parent. That's Pat's parental tips of the day. Even though I'm not a parent, and there's a 90% chance I will never be. So that's. But this is insane.
Yeah.
This is nuts. I can't picture any parent doing this. But maybe there's parents that are afraid of parenting, and they'll do that. Maybe it's like pain. It's like paying a random stranger with a ski mask to run into your house and take the tablet out of your kid's hands.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, stop playing your bubble cat soup game or something. I don't know what
that is. Bubble cat soup.
Bubble cat soup. Is that a... Download it now on the App Store. There's probably an app for that anyway.
Soupy cat.
Soupy cat bubbles game. That and Public G Battlegrounds.
Public Battlegrounds G. soon to be on the Atari VCS.
All right.
Because it's better now.
Tea Time Takedown coming soon to a village in the UK near you, I suppose. All right. Ian.
Yeah.
We have a scumbag.
Seller.
Of
Seller.
The
of
week.
The week.
This is week for a scumbag seller of the week, Ian. This is an eBay seller starting over 1118. Selling digital versions of not a certain NES guidebook, since I have the copyright to that, I can do that. Digital versions of all Nintendo Power issues from 1988 to June 2001, issues 1 to 145, for the very low price of $24.99.
Wow, that's pennies an issue.
Digital download, which you cannot do this, by the way, even if it was legal, I don't think you can do this on eBay.
Yeah.
Not physical copies, PDF download link. I am offering a service to download every Nintendo Power issue from when the Nintendo Power Series magazines first started in 88 all the way to the middle of June 2001. Why not just all of them at that point? You'll need a lot of space on your hard drive to download. This is all in caps, by the way. You need a lot of space on your hard drive to download the file and a fast broadband internet connection. Also check to be sure you do not have any internet caps and are capable of downloading large files through your internet service provider. Why don't you just be like the last company sell the week and put them on your PC for you at that point?
Yeah.
The listing, this is in red caps. The listing is not for a physical copy. Nothing will be shipped. No refunds will be given because of not reading the listing. You are purchasing it. My service is providing a download link to access the books.
Here's the link. You're not buying any actual books.
Wow. Okay. But then when you see the other items, Ian, he's selling Nintendo Player's Guide, just one. For the cost of actually buying the Player's Guide for real. $19.99 for the Super Mario All-Stars Nintendo Player's Guide. The digital download. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, Ian. The Donkey Kong Country. Remember that guy? Super Nintendo Guide? $19.99 for giving you a download link.
Killer Instinct. Same thing.
This is insane. Somehow he's selling a WWE Network account. I'm not going to ask what's going on there, but he's selling it. How about the Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages / Seasons Nintendo Player's Guide digital download for $19.99?
Totally on the up and up and legit, not doing anything wrong.
The Street Fighter 2 guide, which I don't think I've come across that. Nintendo put that out. Street Fighter 2 Turbo Guide.
I did see that.
Yoshi's Island guide. I think I have that one. I definitely don't have the Street Fighter one. And he's selling like NES classics on the side. That's real. And things like that. This is just, first of all, it's illegal. It goes against terms of service as well. And it's just garbage to do that.
Yeah.
It's just garbage.
We've seen a lot of scumbag sellers in the past, you know, while that are, you know, now they're selling services.
Services.
But your service is illegal.
Your service is an email link to a torrent.
Yeah.
That's your service.
You will need to get BitTorrent.
Are you going to walk me through that? Or is it just like, a WeTransfer link? Or is it a Google Drive link?
Going to hold my dick and tell me how to do all this?
Okay. That's extra. I don't know, Ian. He's always selling the real Goosebumps complete collection, but the real ones. So there you go, if you want a Goosebumps collection.
You sure they're not photocopied on the fucking napkins?
On napkins? Don't wipe your face after having that beef chili by accident. That bratwurst chili, flexpromeals.com. Use code CUPODCAST. Save 20%.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. It's a lot of beef. A
lot of fucking beef.
A lot of protein and fat. It's no carbs. You go keto on that. Anyway, anything else to add? This is just...
No.
This is almost charming in its brazenness. To do something like this, to sell a PDF download link to something. Next, we'll find a certain NES guidebook as a scumbag sell of the week. I actually had to take someone down off of eBay. eBay was very cooperative. Someone was selling a digital download.
Oh, wow.
For like $5. You know, so I was like, all right, I'll take it down. They're very cooperative for copyright, for stuff like that. You fill out a form that's lickety-split, it's done on that. So, all right, well, there you go. Starting over 1118, you are the scumbag seller of the week. All right, Ian. We have Tales
from
the
from
Game
the
Store.
Game Store,
which is probably not the most popular segment. If our careers weren't over, this would be people would be loving these.
Yeah, it's a shame that no one's hearing these. So I'm sitting at work. It's probably, I don't know, 11:30. It's slow. It's like a Thursday. And I'm getting some stuff done. I've had some customers come in. And long story short, Traeg ends up coming in. So Trey stops in to, you know, we're chatting business, we're transferring some stuff. And we were talking about how there was a guy who had dropped off a system.
Okay.
The previous week. No, he came to pick up a system the previous week, and he took it home, and he said that it wasn't working and that the disc was all scratched up. But when we looked at it, the system had been sitting in the back of the store for over 6 months, almost a year. And, you know, there was nothing wrong with it. We tested it. So he brings it back. We test it. The system works fine. The disc itself is scratched. It's a Grand Theft Auto 5 disc. And he's saying that, you know, basically that, you know, something that we did caused the disc to get scratched. So we ask for, like, the paperwork, whatever. And he's like, I don't have it. And we noticed that it was fixed, like, a year ago. And he goes, oh, well, the reason it took me so long to pick it up was because I was in jail.
Okay, the guy brought you a system.
He brought us a system to get repaired. Ended up going to jail. And then it was like almost a year later, comes to pick it up.
Okay.
Then says that it's our fault because the disc is scratched.
What system was this?
This was a PlayStation 4.
Okay.
PlayStation 4. Yeah, PlayStation 4. So, anyways. So it's well out of warranty because he was in prison.
Okay.
But Treg doesn't want to. Treg's just like, fine, fuck it. So he opens it up, takes a quick look at it, essentially. There's nothing he can do, talks to the guy, whatever. Sends it off. That's it. So anyways, he's telling me the story about how this ends. About how they couldn't fix it, and the guy, you know, ended up, you know, taking, I think, like a refund or something. Okay. Like that, just to get him out of the fucking...
Just get him out.
Just get him out of our hair. So then he goes, oh, by the way, did you read this? And he picks up a letter that was sent to Luna.
Trey had a letter.
Yeah. It had been sitting in like behind the counter where the mail sits for probably about 2 weeks. I'd seen it, and I was like, no, I said it wasn't addressed to me, but it was an envelope with it was handwritten in pencil on the front of it. We okay. occasionally get letters like that. Sometimes they're compliments, sometimes they're complaints, sometimes they're strange letters to me.
Handwritten letters or typed up.
So anyways, Trey goes, well, sort of related, you should read this. Hands me the letter. So I open it up, and we'll call the guys Bert. That's not his real name, but we'll call him Bert. Bert's letter starts off, hello. About 2 years ago, I was a customer at Luna Video Games, and I ended up with store credit. I think he said it was like $15 in store credit. I am currently in jail with no one else. Could we please take this store credit? And could you convert it into a gift box in the prison? He wanted us to take his old credit and convert it into commissary money in prison.
Wait, what? How are you supposed to do that?
He provided an email address where you can go and you can choose to, like, put money
into a prisoner's account. It's okay.
So... that was basically it.
For $15 worth, what is that, like a pack of cigarettes in the commissary?
I have no idea. Two packages of ramen?
And this was the refund money from the system, for the PS4.
No, this is a completely different person.
Oh, this is a different prisoner.
Yeah, Trey was just like, you know, since we're talking about prison.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's a different prisoner.
Yes, so...
Do you remember how he got that credit? He traded in some prisoner games?
I have no idea. He said it was like 2 years ago, I think, is what the letter said. So it wasn't even like it was credit that was, you know, freshly obtained and then, you know, he's walking away and they're like, hey, we're putting you in the pokey. No, that's not...
He wanted you to go online, go to this commissary website, and put money into his account in the equivalent of $15 and tear up the credit.
Yes.
I would have did it for like $5. All right, you want $5? I'll get you a couple of combo snacks packs. I mean, I'll do that.
For funsies. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is crazy. This is real wild. And Trey's like, no, you really have to, like, think about it for a second.
He's got the time to remember his credit in prison.
Because he's like, so much weird shit happens here. He's like, that, you kind of get numb to it. He's like, but this is truly fucking crazy. This man is in jail asking us for snacks.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on in jail or prison that you got to worry about.
Handwritten letter. Pencil.
He needs a friend, too, maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's someone else to buy him a pack of cigarettes or whatever else he bought. What do you buy at the concert? Like candy bars, I guess? I don't know.
You buy food and snacks. Dry ramen, I know, is a big one.
You got a big one in prison?
Yeah.
Dry ramen, can you make it in your cell?
You can make it in a coffee maker.
They allow you to have a coffee maker in prison?
I think there's probably common ones.
Allow you to boil water in your cell?
Maybe not in the cell.
I was going to say, I don't know. Maybe it's a common area.
Common area.
Yeah. I guess it depends if it's locked down or if it's like a county jail sort of thing, like if it's minimal security. Well, I might think about this too much. This is insane.
Yeah, right? I mean,
you remember the credit. First of all, you got to remember the credit.
And
then you take your time in prison to write the letter to someone.
We live in a world where I can say things like this, and we're like, yeah, that's weird, but not. You have to think on it for a second. You're like, no, that's more than fucking weird. So,
okay,
yeah, there was that. And then I had a guy call me up and insist that there was Halo on the Dreamcast, but that was...
It's a twofer.
Yeah, yeah, that was just a guy who was... He called me up and I... he's like, you gotta help me out. And I said, okay.
You gotta help me. I'm in prison.
And I can hear someone talk. Yeah, right? And I can hear someone talking in the background. And he's like, was Halo on the Dreamcast? And I'm like... No. And he's like, not ever. And I go, sir, 100% Halo was not released on the Dreamcast.
It was a prototype.
There's like a homebrew, but
yeah.
Yeah. But it was never released on the Dreamcast. And he goes, well, couldn't you look it up? He's like,
it's not Alexa, it's Ian.
He's like,
Ian. Was Halo on the Dreamcast?
He goes, can you look it up? He's like, I swear my buddies and I played Halo the time.
No, I'm sorry. I'm a fucking idiot. I'll say Half-Life.
Yeah.
Halo?
No, there's...
What? No, there was a
shitty homebrew like Halo that someone... Oh, I think that someone
no, there was a Half-Life prototype. Yes, that's what I was thinking exactly. about. Not Halo. I'm a fucking idiot.
Half-Life. But, so...
I'm your friend. This guy calling.
And he's like, I'm sure I played it with my buddy. I'm like, no. And I can hear the person in the background. It sounds like a...
I'm going to look this up.
Sounds like a woman or like a young person in the background. And I hear the voice go, I told you. I told you. And he goes, no, I know I played it. And he's like, can you look it up? And I said, you can.
Halo Revamped. It came out, looks like 7-8 years ago on the Dreamcast. Someone came out with it.
So I just said... Yes, I can. It's not here. I said there's nothing that's going to change the fact that it's not on the Dreamcast. And he's just like getting all aggressive. I think what happened was he said that he played Halo on a Dreamcast. Some friend of his was like, no, you didn't. That's bullshit. And he thought he was going to get the big victory by calling the video game store and being like, yeah, Halo's on the Dreamcast,
First of all. According to this article, it looks like it was originally planned to be an exclusive on Dreamcast before it went another way, which I didn't know that. That's interesting. But the fact that he would think like you'd be like the guru of all video game knowledge, that he could just talk to you on the phone because you're working in a video game store, I just think it's funny.
That happens a lot. That's not that uncommon.
Well, you know a lot. I'm not saying you don't, but like everything.
Oh,
no.
I'm just saying, you know. Like people will call the store to ask fucking random Alexa-like questions, and then that's it. They'll call and they'll ask, you know... what year did Mario 3 come out? And it's like, huh?
It's like it's easier to find the number versus just looking it up on a Google search.
And they're not looking for games. This is what I would say. They just call.
I would ask the email address, and I would literally do one of those. Let me Google that for you links.
Yeah,
that emails them, and then I would do that. Hey, what's your email address? I'll get back to you. I would do that. I'd be that petty to let them know this is a waste of my fucking time. Don't ask me questions you can Google. I'm actually now looking at an image, I guess, of what. It was going to look like on the Dreamcast, Halo. Interesting. I did not know that. And then they went with the Xbox after that. Okay, I did not know. So it wasn't an exclusive. It almost was on the Dreamcast, it seems like. Interesting. You know, like these twofers we have here for these tales from the game store. Ian, we have a Patreon Q&A.
Patreon.com/CU podcast.
Man, it's like clockwork now.
You get some writing, you get some hangouts, you get all the access to the whole podcast.
You get the
podcast.
Full video podcast. Yeah. Remember, this is an audio podcast, and then we break it up for you fellows. For the algorithm, we break it up. I don't know. Or actually, you know, some people put the whole podcast on there, but we gotta keep the lights on in Castle Country here.
For what do we got?
There. All right, in third place at 20%. Do you think that Twitch streams are the future of presenting content? That was actually Kate's suggestion, so I put it on there. The movie, second place, movies hanging out. What would a CU podcast movie look like? 27%. And number one, Runaway Hit, 53%. Popular vote. What retro game console would you want an entire library of? No questions asked. Ian, take it away. This was your idea, I believe.
No questions asked. It would probably be PC Engine, but I would...
Is that 700 games about?
Between CD and card, I think so, yeah. It'd be real tempting to say yes to an entire Genesis collection.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because.
I love the Sega Genesis, but I don't have...
You have a flash cart to play them all right now?
I have the shitty flash cart.
You don't have the
I have, like...
The Crix one?
I have, like, the lower end of the Crix one.
You don't have the newer one?
Right. But I don't collect a ton anymore, and I constantly see... Of all the systems that I see at game shows and conventions... The only system that I'm really tempted to buy stuff for that I don't already, namely my PC Engine and my black and white Game Boy, is the Genesis. But I just don't want to go down that hole again.
Rabbit hole?
Yeah, and I had it one time before and had a large chunk of my Genesis collection stolen. And
I think you told me. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, and then I haven't really gone back to it. But the thing is there are Genesis games that I like that I would like to own. But, you know... Honestly, doing the effort, actually collecting, finding the storage space seems miserable. So, yeah, if someone was like, yeah, you've got the whole collection and it's in a room there and it's not in anyone's way, that would be what I would take.
Would you want to look through my collection before I sell off some of my Genesis stuff? I got some decent stuff.
I don't want to buy.
I got Felios and I got Truxton right there.
You stop. Maybe would take Truxton.
Oh, okay. Now I'm tempted. I got some weird esoteric. I have Wardner. It's a weird-ass one.
Yeah, it
is. You don't find too often. And the funny thing about the Wardner one, the reason that comes to mind is that I found it at a convention. You know, it's a very uncommon game. You don't find it. And I found it, and I'm like, this looks cool. I checked my list. I didn't have it. I came back later. It was gone. I came back home. I had it. It's one of those weird things that, like, I did have it. This happened to me before. This happened with the Hurricanes on the Super Nintendo. This is an aside. Where I was like, I think I had this for some reason. And it wasn't listed that I put it down. I owned Hurricanes. That went from like a $10 game to $100 in like a year when people discovered like, oh, there's Super Nintendo games that are hard to find that aren't like the popular ones like Hagane. So it's PC. It was PC Engine, but then you really Genesis.
Yeah, because honestly, I enjoy the collecting for the PC Engine. I enjoy the hunt. Genesis, it'd be cool just to have all that stuff complete in front of me.
So this is a weird question for me because I have three libraries of games that were my top choices. Nintendo, TurboGrafx, and Master System, at least for the U.S., I could expand, though, and say, well, there's a lot of cool European Master System games and weird-ass ones in South America that would be nice to have.
Cool stuff.
Was there, like, another 200 at least that didn't come out here? 250? I think it's 200. You know, I have a couple, like, Operation Wolf, but I don't have, like, the Mortal Kombat that came out. I don't have, like, the, you know, Sonic 2, and I don't have some of, like, Sonic Spinball, whatever the hell else came out.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, I don't have all this weird-ass, crappy Master System games. I would like to play some of them. So I would say Master System might be an interesting one just because... And a lot of these games are cheap, though. You just got to get them shipped. A lot in Europe, they're dirt cheap, a lot of it, because it was more common there. It's just getting them over here. That's what. Something tells me it would be interesting to own a 2600 library just because no one has an entire 2600 library.
Actually, you're right. If we're talking like truly like miraculous
One has every Atari 2600 North American game.
Yeah.
Because there's
a complete Atari collection,
no.
Including everything that we don't know about.
Because games like Gamma Attack and Red Sea Crossing, there's a handful of copies or less. The Birthday Cart, if you want to count that, there's less than like a handful that exist. It's a weird... And of course, the fucking Air Raid. There's like less than, 15 of them that exist? Or there's not a lot of them. So those are games that big collectors like Rich Weiss... have almost all of them, but even people like that don't have all of them. So it'd be almost like a feather in your cap. Yeah, I got every... Plus, they're just fucking weird. Knowing that this game was like hand-soldered in some guy's basement.
Yeah.
And he sold it in a magazine that like 8 people saw and like 4 people ordered. It's just, there's a weird part of gaming history that locks beyond to that part of it. Like, this is like in its most infantile form, home video games. Like, right before it blew up. You know, you have people making them. This is the last time people were making them and releasing them like that. Like, no one's making Switch games in their basement and releasing them. You know, like,
no.
It's not one-man operations anymore. I mean, you have independent games that get released physically, but it's different than how that was. It was literally a one-man operation. It appeals to me, the Atari 2600. And to that extent, I'd probably get my potato would probably be jealous if I did that. So he's a big 2600 guy when it comes to that. Yeah, I think those are the two for me. Those are the twofers. That would appeal to me the most. But that Master System thing, I think I'm basically winding down on my collecting career. I might go out and get some of those weird ass Master System games just because it could be fun to have them.
Yeah, might as well.
And a lot of them aren't that much to have. You just got to find like a buyer to ship them over for you. All right, thanks for that that Patreon poll question. Patreon.com/CU Podcast.
So we've got a Q&A this week. It is.
Oh boy, this is a fun one.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I gotta find the Twitter thread. Oh boy.
It is.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh
it,
boy.
It is from Aaron Bossig at Aaron Bossig. Talk about the Polymega mudslinging at Analog, despite the Mega SG releasing earlier, cheaper, and doing a better job. While Polymega still hasn't shown off the prototype or the unit they specified during the pre-orders.
Okay, so
this is so bad that I feel like it has to be a work. This has got to be some sort of.
It's almost like a parody account.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. So Polymega has been pretty quiet for a while.
By the way, if you search Polymega on Twitter right now,
yeah.
Someone suggesting it as a topic for us is four down.
Yeah. No, I mean, find the actual Twitter thread.
Sure.
So they announce huge update coming next week on March 12th, and they show this chip, 970 Evo chip. A graphics chip, I guess? That sounds like it's a graphics sort of chip or something, or graphics card. So you click on it, and then, wow, it's hard to follow this thread. Oh, this is how it started. This guy named Adam says, if it's not FPGA support, I'm not listening. They replied, this is their official account. Get smart. FPGA on its own is fraught with limitations. The makers of the Mega SG even tried to blame Sega for the technological shortcomings of their, in quotes, amazing FPGA system. Wake us up when it's compatible with 32X and 32X CD and don't have to spend extra $100 on a dying Sega CD. Retro RGB replied, lashing out at Analog totally makes sense, seeing that as their Super NT and NT Mini were phenomenal products, just like your, oh wait, that's right, you haven't released your Raspberry Pi yet. Good luck using slander as marketing. I'm sure no one will figure it out. Polymega came back and went at Analog for their little digs about saying this is no bullshit fake hybrid emulation, which Analog did say.
That's fine.
They did, but they were right to call out Polymega about that. So Polymega has obviously some heat with Analog, their competitors directly. They said in this reply, Polymega, fact, Mega SG doesn't play 32X games. Ours Genesis module does. End of story. And then it gets worse. Retro RGB says what I says. Who says it doesn't play 32X? Once Analog releases their RGB adapter, I'll test. There's no reason it shouldn't work. And the good thing about the firmware updates to FPGA, they could have support for that.
Yes, exactly.
My guess is, according to you, that it doesn't matter because I already play a 32X on my iPhone. Pro tip, hire a marketing person, not a Twitter troll, and it just degrades from there.
Yeah, exactly.
My argument is, who the fuck cares about the 30 to 40 32X games when I'm playing the entire Genesis library perfectly well with an FPGA, which is going to be better than a RetroPie device? That's my argument, first of all.
Sure. Yeah,
that's a very small price to pay.
It's at some point.
Who fucking cares about 32X support?
People like seeing an underdog. You know, fight back and win.
It has, by the way, Master System support perfectly on the.
Yeah,
on
its, but this is I not know. This is not an underdog. This is the sort of hitting back that would be great if this company was actually under any sort of siege. But they're not. They're just being
no
pricks. They're being loud babies. They made a decision that was they were yet another team that had a pie in the sky idea, and there was going to be. Modules and FPGA, and they made a bad calculation, and instead of just scrapping the system and saying we can't do it, they said we're gonna use hybrid emulation, we're ditching the FPGA, which means that this is just a fancy, more expensive Retron 5. Essentially, this is doing very similar things to the Retron 5
with modules
So don't be upset when what you initially pitched was something that people might have been interested in, and it no longer is now. You cannot sit here and... It doesn't matter how many times you say that it's better technology. You can do it until you're blue in the face. You can't just claim inferior tech is the better tech and walk away from it. That doesn't work.
And then they double down. Someone said, feed me, daddy. Baby wants his Sega games in HDMI. So, so good. And then someone named Matt says, Mega SG. Paul Mega says, Mega SG doesn't play 32X or 32X CDs, but enjoy. That's what you're going to hang your head on. Superior FPGA versus emulation. For the 700 game Genesis library, that's bullshit. But oh, worry about fucking Sega CD games that Sega CD 30/32X games that no one cares about.
I mean, the thing
playing
is,
really
playing it as close to perfect as possible is.
And by the way, Analog has put out products,
right?
A stream of products for years and years and years.
Not a bunch of bullshit and you know and
so
puffed up statements. The likelihood of the Mega SG eventually being able to do 32X is probably pretty high.
Kev Trish is a magician.
At which point, the Poly Mega cannot fall back on...
The only thing they can say is that we have a CD drive support. That's the only thing they can say. But I'm sure they can figure out a CD drive, though, that to hold
on
to
the analog. So they can't fall back on that. It's absurd. I would rather be able to play the Genesis library near perfectly than emulate and have the 32X and 32X CD available.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to preserve that? Yeah. Are there things that might be fun on there to play every once in a while? Sure. But acting like this is some sort of incredibly important distinction is ridiculous. But it's all they have to hold on to because they know their tech sucks.
Wow. Now you have people defending it. Well, this... You know, they're saying bad things like, "Well, you can't use a flash drive with your Mega SG." It's like, "Why not? I can use a flash drive with the Super NT."
Yeah.
It reads it fine. It reads it as a normal system would. What's the difference there? Yeah, this is not good. This is just awful PR.
Yeah,
it's just terrible. Even if I don't agree with the way the system's gone, and people don't, and they have the right to be upset they changed FPGA to emulation, you cannot go after people like this. You can't. Yeah.
What if this comes out and it's a success?
And then people are turned off.
And then and it's a minor success, but then, you know, it goes to move mainstream and people look at how shitty and unprofessional the company was.
Yeah. What if, and by the way, there has not been a lot of updates.
No.
Look at their Twitter. They reached their 500,000 goals like 2 months in September. They show them playing some sort of prototype with someone up, Peter Kitsch, in October. And then from there, there was an update February 12th. Got an idea for an NES game. Want to see it on Polymega? Use NES Maker software, which we talked about. It's great. For some contest. So there's a 4 month period with no update, really, for something they took over $500,000 for. No update, but a huge coming next week. This is awful PR.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can say. If I wanted to support this and thought this was a good idea, I would still say this is awful PR either way.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, don't know.
There's no way you can say that's good PR, even if you.
Oh, they had a ton. Whoever's running this account, they had a ton of responses on March 12th. I mean, this is like. They had like 30 responses that day to everyone. And that was a month between their last response, by the way, between February 14th and March 12th. They just went, they're arguing that, oh, don't worry about the Mega SG. No, worry about the Mega SG. It's gonna be a hit because the Super NT is fantastic.
Yeah.
From what I hear about the, I wish I had a Mini NT. I wish they did more of them. I really wish I did. I'd buy a Mini NT. I should have bought one. I should have. And Ian's going to get the Mega SG. Right? I might get it.
Maybe.
I might get the Mega SG. It's going to be worth it to me.
I'm certainly not getting a Polymega.
Certainly not. Okay. Fair enough. All right. That's it for this CU podcast.
That's that.
This is. We got a lot packed in, like an hour and a half.
Yeah. That was economical.
Was it an hour and a half only? I got an
hour and 15, I think.
Oh, no. It was not an hour. It could not have been an hour and 15. We were going. That's the one bad thing about OBS. That doesn't tell you the runtime of everything.
And we started somewhere between around quarter after. So,
Well, all right. All right, this was, I feel like, high five, Ian.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was a weirdly.
And Ian's already packing up. The podcast is not over. I don't know why he does.
We're still
going. But
we're talking about Final Times.
Final Times. You can't wait. It's like you running to take a piss, like back in 2013. Check out ultimatesnes.com if you want to pre-order a Super Nintendo book. The NES book is not to alarm you. The NES book is running out of copies, but I will do a third print run. So don't get one from a reseller. That happened the first time. I had to call some people charging too much money. One did sell for over 100. But and then I'll be streaming on Twitch a little bit more here and there. But definitely after this podcast, I'll be doing it. So Ian wants to get out. Ian hates my presence. All right, Ian's gonna go home and write a couple of your next NES review after you update the other ones. What are you gonna do?
I think it's F1.
F1.
F1 built to win.
Oh, built to win. I was like, what? F1. I don't remember F1. Oh, good. Go for it. All right, for Ian Ferguson, I'm Pat Contry. We'll see you next week. With my hair probably cut a little bit.
Next week.